I encourage you to take your copy of the Word of God and open your Bible to Luke chapter 15. Luke and chapter 15. Yeah, I wanted to give reference to the noisy bucket. I want you to know it definitely is noisy. I walk in every once in a while as I'm going to my desk. I kick that bucket and I hear it. It definitely is a noisy bucket. No, I don't want to kick the bucket. That's right. Yes. But in any case, I was holding meetings down in Low Point, Illinois, at a camp called Camp Manitoumi. And so I was there at the camp, and I gave reference to the fact of the clock in back of the chapel. And I was looking at that and said, you know, I cannot see that clock. And of course, the camp director was there. And I said, well, I guess since I can't see it, I'll just preach until I'm done. Well, that got a hold of the director's attention. And the next night, the hands were wrapped with orange cellophane paper. I couldn't miss it. I could see him very well then. So I got his attention. But anyway, Luke chapter 15. Here in Luke chapter 15, we see Jesus being confronted. By the way, have you ever been accused of doing something that you did do? Yeah. Have you ever been accused of something you didn't do? How about this one? Have you ever been accused of something that you knew was right, but they thought was wrong? And that's what's happening to Jesus here in Luke chapter 15. Let me share with you here in Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. The Word of God says this: then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And I gave reference to the fact the publicans, you know, and sinners, you have people here, individuals that have never believed in the truth of God's word. They're publicans and they're sinners, tax collectors. And here they are about to accuse Jesus. It says in verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The Pharisees, I gave reference to the fact that the Pharisees aren't very fair, you see. And the Sadducees are very sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. You hear those phrases, right? In fact, Dana was referring to the Sadducees the other day. I hope Dana's listening and all those others. Good to be here, and all those online as well. Welcome. But here you have the Pharisees and the scribes. They're murmuring, saying, look where Jesus is. Verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. So, but now we have all these publicans, and or rather the Pharisees and scribes complaining. Why is he spending time with Jesus? That's bad. Well, why is Jesus spending time with them? They're the undesirable. They're sinners. They're wicked. Why is Jesus spending time with them? So then in verse 3, the Word of God says this, and he spake, that's Jesus, he spake this parable unto them, saying, and we know that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And I think what Jesus is about to do, he is about to place sinners into categories. And these categories, Jesus is laying his heart out for these publicans, these Pharisees, those murmuring. He was sharing with these individuals the fact that he loves sinners, that's why he came. I could just see Jesus with a tear trickling down his cheek as he tried to share with these scribes and the Pharisees his love for people, his love for those who are lost, condemned, and headed for hell. The first category that I see Jesus placing sinners into is called the wandering sinner. The Bible shares with us here in verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? He's searching, he's seeking for that one who's lost. Verse 5, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me. Let's have a party. For I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let's have a party. That which was lost, I have found. The wandering sinner. The wandering sinner. That one that has no idea he's lost. No idea about coming judgment. No idea that God hates sin and needs of repentance. Just wandering about, going around corners and deserts and trees, and no idea that there's danger around the corner. Just wandering about. No idea of the future. But Jesus loves them. And that's why Jesus came. I can just see Jesus with a tear trickling down his cheek as he introduces to the Pharisees his love for wandering sinners. Oh, I'm sure you know of a wandering sinner today. Someone who you're praying for. Someone that does not know the Lord is their Savior. Just wandering about. Sometimes no idea of coming judgment. No idea that God hates sin. No idea that they're even a sinner in need of a Savior. No idea. Just wandering about. Oh, I see them all in the world today. Just wandering about. And oh, how they need to be introduced to Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, who loves them so much. I can just see Jesus with a tear trickling down his cheek as he introduces the Pharisees to the wandering sinner. There are many out there who have no idea about who Jesus is and their need of a Savior. Deceived. Deceived by the world. Deceived by those around us. No idea of coming judgment, the wandering sinner. But not only does Jesus introduce to the Pharisees and the scribes about the wandering sinner, he also introduces them to the waiting sinner. The Bible shares with us in verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me. Let's have a party. For I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Joy in the presence of God. One more name written down in glory, and it's mine. It's mine. That lost sinner. You see, not only was Jesus sharing with the Pharisees that day about the wandering sinner, but also about the waiting sinner. You know, that coin that she lost can't stand up on its edge and say, hey, I'm over here. No, he's lost, dead in sin, no hope. He's lost and just needs to be found. And you know, there are some sinners that are lost today, they're just seeking for someone to find them. Someone to recognize their worth. You know, when you think about a coin, there's an insignia on there of either the land, the country, or the king, or the prince. There's a signet on it. And you know, each one of us are stamped in the image of God. Each one of us have a purpose. We are worth something. You know, the world tries to tell us that, no, we're not worth anything. We're just an accident, right? Evolution tells us that we just so appeared. There was this big bang and the world came into existence. No, we're created in the image of God. God had a plan, created this world in 6 literal days because he loves each and every one of us. We are created in the image of God. And here we have a coin that's just waiting, waiting for someone to recognize their worth, that they are important, that God does love them, that they do have a worth. The waiting sinner. Just waiting for someone to find them. No, that coin does not have a way to search for it. You can't put an app on it so that your phone will tell you where it is. You know, that just won't happen. My wife needs something like that on her phone. She's always losing it, but haven't found one yet. But in any case, that coin is lost. It's can't find it. And she sweeps the house diligently. Have you ever noticed that the month is a whole lot longer than the paycheck? And here she is. She lost this coin. The world says, but you got 9 others. Why worry about that one? Because that one's important. It's important. It's important to her. It's important to her to get through the rest of the month. And it's also important to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus, standing there next to his critics with a tear trickling down his cheek, he says, I'm about to die for that lost sinner, that waiting sinner that's just waiting for someone to share with them their worth, that they are important and that God does love them. But not only does Jesus introduce to the Pharisees and the scribes about the wandering sinner and about the waiting sinner, but he also introduces them to the willful sinner. The Bible shares with us in verse 11, and he said a certain man had 2 sons. How many sons were there? 2, right? But let's look at the first one first. This one here is the willful sinner. It says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. He spent it all. And when he had spent all, there arose several of his friends and came and helped him because he was such a good friend to them. No, not at all. You know, you would think that this young man bringing his wealth and running to a far country, that he would find several friends. You know, he would help them out and they would have a good time together and they would spend his money. But when the money was gone, so were his so-called friends. His friends weren't friends at all. With friends like that, who needs enemies, right? Those friends weren't friends at all. He couldn't count on them. He couldn't count on them in the fact that he was in need. You would think somebody would come along, but nobody did. In fact, it says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He was hungry, and he went and joined himself with a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Oh, he's a farmer. I know a lot of farmers, especially up in Iowa, Montana, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Wow, they really know how to take care of their hired hands. They got a special home for them, and they got lots of food that they can eat. They go out in the field and work on the herds and the swine and feed them and come back into the ranch hand house, and they got this huge meal for them and well taken care of. He's well taken care of now, right? No, it says in verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. No one. He had to fight for his food. He had to fight for the best of the pig slop. It didn't sound very good at all. Here he was. He spent all. He lived a riotous life and just threw his life away. Oh, the willful sinner. That son who just willfully says, I don't believe like you do anymore. I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to live my life my way. In fact, I know better than you do, Dad. I know better than you do, Mom. I know it all. You know, I remember seeing a sign in a home. It said, you better leave when you know it all. Because as soon as you leave, you realize, no, Mom and Dad really were pretty smart. They did know, and by then it's too late. This man finally realized, hey, you know, I made a mess of things. I just kind of blew it. I am not where I want to be. And so it says here, and when he came to himself, he said, so here he is. He's feeding the swine. He's got this bucket of slop in his hands, and he's looking at the pigs. And he quickly realizes, he comes to his senses. He realizes, hey, I'm not where I want to be. My dad takes better care of his servants, his hired hands, than this man does. And do you know what he did? He dropped his pail, he jumped the rail, and he hit the trail. He went to see his dad. He was going to plead and apologize for what he had done. And he repented to God. The word of God shares with us, and he went and joined himself to that citizen in verse 17 or verse 15. And when he had come to his senses in verse 17, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? I perish with hunger. I will arise, go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So he arose. He jumped that rail. He hit the trail. He came home. And when he came home, look at this. He came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and fell on his neck and kissed him. He saw his son coming down the trail. And his compassion kicked in. He was longing for his son, hoping to see him. And he runs off to see his son because he's so joyful that he has returned, that he has come home, the willful sinner. And you know, maybe someone here today knows a willful sinner. I want to encourage you, don't quit. Don't stop praying for him. Don't quit. There's a chance that God might work in his heart, that he might come to his senses, that he might drop that pail of sin and that slop and jump the rail and hit the trail, and he just might come home because of God's grace is so good. It is so good. So he says to him, he gives him a kiss, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. He didn't have a coat. He didn't have a coat. He spent everything. He squandered it all. It was gone. But listen to this. That's not the worst thing. He puts a ring on his hands and listen to this, and shoes on his feet. He didn't have shoes. He was shoeless. He was coatless. He didn't have a ring, identification of who he was. It was gone. He spent it all. And you know, that's just the way sin is. Sin's a trap. It's a trap. Satan likes to draw a beautiful picture, but it always ends in destruction. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. I love this verse. For this my son was dead. He was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. They had a party. You know that party that the other two had, the wandering sinner and the waiting sinner? They had a party. Oh, invite him to church. They can get a turkey afterwards. Yeah. So they had a party, an exciting time. But not only did Jesus introduce to the Pharisees and the scribes the wandering sinner, the waiting sinner, the willful sinner, but last of all, he also introduced them to the wayward sinner. You know, there's three types of people in the world today. There's the sinner, there's the saved, and then there's the make-believer. The believer, the unbeliever, and the make-believer. The one who makes it look like, sometimes very faithful, but yet have never truly accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. As you look at this text today, you're looking at a man that, yes, a picture of one who has chosen to be unfaithful and ungrateful of what had taken place. But I can also see a make-believer, one who's chosen to say, well, look what I have done, but has never personally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. When we look at this wayward sinner, we begin at verse 25. And his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Hey, there's a party going on. Someone's been found. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was happy and excited and ran to his brother and gave him a hug and a kiss. And no, don't you kind of wish that's what happened? But instead, no, he was angry and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And I want to share with you that this older brother had an eye problem. Do you know what the middle letter of sin is? I. Look at verse 29. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. He had an eye problem. Look at what I've done. Look at who I am. I never deceived you. I never left. But look, you never had a party for me. The wayward sinner. Still home, very faithful, but yet a make-believer. Not where God wanted him to be. He didn't rejoice in what took place. He had an eye problem. Look at what I've done. Look at who I am. Look at what I have accomplished. But yet in his sin. You know, I can just see Jesus with a tear trickling down his cheek, introducing to these Pharisees and scribes his love for sinners. He introduces them to the wandering sinner, to the waiting sinner, to the willful sinner, and last of all, to the wayward sinner. He shared with them his love for sinners, his desire to reach them, because only he can fulfill and give joy to them that nobody else can. They have a spot in their heart that's empty, that cannot be filled with anything else but the love of God. Can't you just see Jesus with a tear trickling down his cheek and saying to those Pharisees, this is why I spend time with sinners, because they have a need. They know about their need. And you know, I can just see Jesus point to the wayward sinner and say, that's where you fit. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray that we will have a burden for those who are lost, that we'll see sinners the way Jesus did, in need of a Savior, that you do love them. Father, we should not turn anyone away, no matter who they are, whatever status they're in, however much money they have, intelligence. Father, we should turn no one away. Each and every one of us fall into this category before we're saved. And Father, maybe there's someone here today who still fits in one of these categories, has never come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray that today by faith, they'll accept Jesus Christ before it's too late. Father, I thank you for each one who's here. I pray, Father, that they will cherish your word today. Help us as we look forward to another week. We think of Thanksgiving and all that's going on, that we'll be able to spend time with family, with friends, to be able to enjoy this Thanksgiving period, that, Father, that we can be thankful and rejoice in who you are, that you are in control, that you are good all the time, and that we can trust you and rely upon your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing our closing hymn, Kevin.
Please stand and turn to hymn number 161. Here we go.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See, on the portals he's waiting and watching. watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Verse 2.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, let's close in a word of prayer. Yes, thank you. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, for this day, all that's taken place. We thank you for all the things that have been accomplished this week, the food bank, the garage sale, everything that's taken place with the school as they closed off this week and looking forward to a break. Father, I pray that they will not take a break from you, but that, Father, that they'll trust you. We would love to see them in church. And, Father, I just pray that maybe even tonight you'll work in their hearts, that they'll realize the importance of being in the house of God, to grow spiritually and to realize that their relationship with you is suffering by not being in the house of God, being able to pray for one another, to ask for prayer, to give praises to you. We thank you for all the praises and all that's going on for salvation, eternal life. We pray again for those that have COVID-19, those who have been mentioned tonight, and others that, Father, I just pray you'll give doctors wisdom. Give them wisdom to know exactly what to do. Pray that the cases will be light and last a very short time, and that they'll be able to conquer it. And we pray for this vaccination that will be out soon, and that this virus can be defeated and overtaken. And that, Father, we will not be threatened with the idea that we cannot meet for church or meet to praise your name and to share the good news on the corner. I just pray, Father, that you will intervene. We see terrible things taking place, and we just pray that you'll conquer it, that you will bind Satan's hands, keep him defeated at this time. And Father, help us to realize that you are in control, that we can trust you. And we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week.
Is there anybody that didn't want a turkey? Yeah, anybody want a turkey?
Anybody want a turkey that's here tonight? Yep, right here. Hello, sir.